Hallelujah. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you for this day, Lord, for we have. We thank you, Father, for thou art in control of all things in this life, in this earth. We know, Lord, the world is troubled. There's much distress, O Lord, in the life of people around the world, many places, many countries, because of the economy situation, because of the waters that's raging, O Lord, maybe in their own country. And we also know, Lord, that the religious problem around the world as well. But Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this peace in Christ Jesus. Peace that the world cannot have, cannot receive. That which only you give to those who are born again, children of the living God. Father, we thank you for this blessed peace, O Lord, that you've given us in Christ Jesus. And the peace that Christ Jesus, your only begotten Son, give it to us, O Father. It will be there, Father, until we see him face to face. We know nothing will take this peace away, not even the joy that we have received from thy word. The only thing, Father, we want is that we should constantly, O Father, abide in Jesus Christ our Lord. Abide in thy word. For it is this life of the word that is given to us, Father, that give us life and in the way that we should walk, Father, in this world of darkness. And we thank you for that, Lord. Just give us the strength, Father, and help us digest what you have given us, Lord, even a little at a time, that we may grow spiritually, thereby, Father, matured in thy truth and in thy blessing, Father, in the goodness and the love, the joy, the grace, mercy, all that God is, all that you are, Father, to us. We bless the holy name this morning, and as we approach thy word, may thou again, Lord, anoint our hearing and the speaking of thy word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Alright. Don't forget, son, to watch the battery life and put on that. Alright, let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 6. We're still on the seal. The last week we had dealt with the first four seal, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And now let's just look at the chart again for to just recollect so that we can go to the next three seal. Alright. Now we have the first seal, the white horse, the second seal, the red horse, then the black horse, and then, of course, the pale horse. Now, to recollect this, is if you look at chapter 6, verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, well, you know that this fourth horse, move it closer to this side. Yeah. Push it. Yeah. No, drag it. You cannot move this with a scroll, nothing? The arrow? Yeah. You're correct, there you go.
The screen, the projector is projecting off.
Oh, you're not using the 67, you're using another one. I'm asking you to use 67, not 67. 67, yeah, this is the one. Okay, now I like this one. Okay, alright. Now, this fourth seal that came up, I want to explain a little bit more before we go into the next. Now, it's the Bible used the word pale horse, but as I said, the Greek word is chronos, it's green, right? Okay, that is trying to revive itself. Because already in the Reformation period, the horse before that was Luther, actually, and all those men of God that came up actually fought against this particular Antichrist spirit. And when Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the Wittenkastel door in Germany in 1517, it actually bruised the head of one of the head of the beast that came up out of the sea. Alright, which we will deal with that later on as we go in the book of Revelation. But just so to let you know that this pale horse, the spirit of Antichrist, did not die. The papacy did not die. The papacy was bruised, almost to death, but it revived. Now, the revival of this Roman Catholic system was a result of an image being created for her. Alright. And that will be, when we deal with it later on in the book of Revelation again, when that image to the beast was created. It was created by the churches in America in the earlier 20th century. Those churches, some of those churches came together and formed a conference or what we call the Alliance of Christian Churches. Alright, and which later on, of course, became the National Council of Churches. Then from America, they enlarged and go out to the world to form another organization, which they now call the World Council of Churches. So in the National Council of Churches, is basically where it started in America, the World Council of Churches, and within the whole world. So it is this ecumenical movement that the Christian, when they left the Catholic Church back in the days of Luther, and when they organized later some, well, how many years that? I would say 1517 until 19 something. That's 400 years. They decided to form this image. But when they formed this image, they didn't realize they actually were forming an image, of course, because they were just alliance of Christian churches and the National Council of Churches. But by and by, of course, you know, they had this relationship with the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church in turn, well, through flattery, embraced them. And Protestant today, as I said, became known as separate brethren. And now we know what that image became. And as Bob Graham said, all denominations will go back to Rome. And we are seeing it happen, actually. I saw it in my lifetime. And I saw it when I was in the Assemblies of God, back then in the 70s, they fought against the 60s, 70s, they fought against the World Council, just like the Presbyterian Church here in Singapore. But now today, they do away with it. They do not believe that the papacy or the Pope is going to be the incarnation of Satan. That he is the Antichrist. They call to them, they say all the popes are Antichrists, but not the Antichrist. And they believe that the Antichrist would be a dictator, a political figure, who would deny Christ. And they say that the Pope could not be because the Pope did not deny Jesus Christ. Alright, so but they don't realize, as I said, to be able to get into somebody, an organizer, some other entity, or some other kingdom, or empire, whatever it is, you have to be like them. You have to flatter your way through into their organization or the people. You see, and that's what the Pope, through all those years, you know, flattered himself through the Catholic system and infiltrated the Protestant organization. Okay, so this is what we see now in this fourth house. And I want you to notice something here in verse 8. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. Now this we see that is going to come. The fourth part of the earth is 25% of the earth population. 25% of the earth population, you will see today, are actually Christian people. You understand that? So they are going to, of course, influence all those who claim the Bible but who are not with the systems of papacy. So he will have the power when he is totally incarnated, because the Bible said death was the one who sat on that horse and hell followed. You see? So he has the power to take, and he's going to put to death about 25% of the people of the world. Power to go after them and kill them. Forbid them this, forbid them that. No buying, no selling if you do not bow down to the Pope. You see? So 25% roughly will be the Christian people, or those who, in a sense, whatever religious organization that is, that would not recognize the Pope. And if you look at the population of the world today, one third of the population of the world today are considered Christian. Right? You all know that, don't you? Okay? One third of the world is practically communism. And so one third of the world is Christian, under Christianity. Then you have about 25% of the whole world actually are basically and though they are with the Pope. In that day, when the Pope is incarnated by Satan, he will turn against them and he will have power over them. So we are looking into what this house will do. They all right themselves to the end of time until Christ comes. Okay, now let us look into the fifth seal now. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the soul that was slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, do thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto them, and to every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now, let us look at the first fifth seal here. Now, these last three seals, when we look at the seal, the seventh seal, remember, all those that John saw in the first place, we all see this vision here that he had on the Isle of Patmos. As I said, they are series of vision. Okay? So now here is a series of vision of the seventh seal that was given to him. Now, the fifth seal, we know that it seems to us, we will say that, as if the one seal come after another. But it is so because it was open to John in the vision. Okay? But the seal may not be one following the other when it's supposed to be fulfilled. So now in this fifth seal, we find that the fifth seal is situated right here. Okay? Even all those four horses of the first four seals, they are still continuing riding. Right? The white horse is still riding because that's Antichrist spirit. That is the Antichrist spirits under the Catholic Church that goes forth to conquer, to deceive the people. Right? And then we have the red horse, the second seal. And the Catholic Church still in some country persecute people and even put to death people. And then we have the black horse, of course they cut the true word of God from the people and give them all those traditions, the Hail Mary stuff, holy water stuff, you know, which of course are not biblical. The Trinity doctrine and so many others. Purgatory. And then the fourth seal, of course, is ecumenism. And anyone who joins the system, right, is following this white horse into death, into hell. Okay? So we are seeing all this happening. Now, only the wise will come to that revelation. Those who are not truly wise, they will not see it. And if you have watched the video that I have sent it to you, A Lamb in the Dark, you understand if you look into history. And then, of course, I was surprised that at the end of that video it says, to be continued, part 2, the wheat and the tares. And which is very true, because if the people see it, then the tares must be a fake. Something that looks similar to the wheat, but it's not. And we know where the tares is. The tares are those that are going to come, that came out from the Catholic system, that, and all those problems that came out and organized and just following into a system. They're all going to follow this white horse of death into hell. Do you understand that? Okay? So now, what is this going on? The fifth seal that is given us here when John saw happens in this area. Happens in the year 1917, when the children of Israel were regathered together, alright, to form a nation. But what happened is that during the Second World War, 6 million Jews were killed under Hitler and Eichmann in the year 1939 to 1945. So now if you look carefully in the fifth seal, there are two parts to it. When you open the fields, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of the Lord and for the testimony which they held. Now, some denomination teaches that the souls that were under the altar, that John saw, that they were Christian people. Now, if we do not know any better, it looks like it. You know? Because it seems that when people, when we read it, we just read it through and it says that, well, you know, they had white robe. But then we read carefully, the white robe was given unto every one of them. To examine carefully in verse 9, it says, they were slain for the word of God, of the Lord, and for the testimony which they held. Nothing is mentioned that they were slain for the testimony of Jesus Christ. You understand? But for the word that they held. What was, you know, the Jew, they hold to the oracles of God. What was the testimony? The testimony, their testimony is that they are Jew. Not the testimony that they are Christian, no. So, we also come, when we see that, the first point. The second point is this, in verse 10, and they cry with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now here, they are crying out for revenge. Now, you know, of course, that, Christian, do you ask for revenge? No. Look at Stephen. When he was being stoned to death, he didn't say, Lord, take revenge for me. No. Right? He said, forgive them. Christ said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And Jesus said, if someone slap you on the left cheek, give them the right, and so on. Is that all right? So, it is not the cry of Christian souls under the altar. It is the cry of Jews who were slain. That they were Jews, and that they would not denounce their faith of the oracles that they had. Do you see that? And that second point. The third point is here. And white robes were given unto every one of them. White robes were given unto every one of them. They didn't have white robes. It was given unto them. You know, when we are born again, automatically we have white robes put on. It's not given to us. It is there because of result of being born again. Like when you are born, or like Daniel being born into, you know, through Paul and his wife. What happened? When he was born, he took the name Sim, obviously. Is that right? It took the very DNA, the genes of the parent. Do you understand? Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? But if Brother Paul would adopt a son, then he has to give that adopter his name to this adopted son. That son, that the boy that he adopted, maybe from a Tan family or Lee family, Obviously, isn't it? So he had to change his name and give his name to the boy. So when we are born again of the Spirit of the Lord, automatically we all have white room. But this one, they were not born again. But give them white robe, which to signify that they are accepted, clean in the eyes of God. They are elected for that matter. And we know that the election of God stands sure. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hate. Even before they were born, God had already elected Jacob. Do you see that? You understand that? Huh? So for us, every one of us here, we have white robes. White robes weren't given to us. We were born again with white robes. For right, the white robe represents justification in God. Just as I have not sinned. Do you see that? Okay. So this is one that we should know. Then again, we read here. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for the little season, until their fellow servant also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. They were told to rest yet for a little season. Ah, okay. What is this little season here? Now, let us go look at chapter. Now, we know that after the first four seals, and the first four seals, they all deal with, the four horsemen deal with the church. It deals with the church. You all know that, don't you? Every time a horse came forward, one of the four living beasts rises up to fight against that particular horse. In his time, when those horses appear. But when the fifth seal was announced, there was no beast that fought against it. You know that, don't you? Okay? Because why? It does not deal with the church. Do you understand? So the four beasts had nothing to do with those four seals or to fight against those four seals. It has to do with some other thing outside the church. So when the fifth seal ever came forth, now, we know that these souls that were lying under the altar, 6 million you killed under Hitler. But we know, even though it is in history mentioned as 6 million Jews, yet not all those 6 million that died are elected by God to be the souls under the altar. So when the souls under the altar did join, so we do not know how many were there. Not all the 6 million that were killed. Because there, out of the 6 million that were killed, there are many that went into the chamber cursing God. I want you to know that. Do you know that, don't you? But there are those that bravely hold on to the faith. Now, if you have seen a documentary or even a Schindler's List or something like that, how that there are Jews that are willing to die for the faith. But there are many, of course, that curse God and die. You see. So not all, therefore, when you look at that 6 million, alright? Now, we know that since already this was sold, it was lying under the altar. And the Lord said, and the boys was, John heard that they were told to rest yet for a little season until their fellow servant. Now, they were told to rest a little because there's another group that's going to die. So what is this group? Now, if you look at this little season, what is this little season? Now, a word is just a word, huh? Rest a little season. Rest a little while. Okay, now, a little season is a generation of time. Now, remember, the Second World War was fought in the early 20th century, in 1939 onward, you know. And when the Jews destroyed all, when Germany or Hitler and Eichmann destroyed all these Jews, it was only later after that, I can't remember the name of that Jewish scientists who invented the bomb, the atomic bomb, that ends the war. So that was why that in 1970 we know that there was a regathering of the people of the Jew going back to Israel. But it was only in 1948, after the World War ended in 1945, Second World War ended in 1945, that in 1948, when the United Nations convened together, and in one day itself, Israel became a nation. You know, as the Bible, I think the book of Isaiah, have anybody heard that a nation is born in one day? You know, but it did. Israel was born in one day. And so May the 14th, Israel became a nation, 1948. And so we have 1948. Now we know that 1948 is the year that fixed the budding of the fig tree. In the book of Matthew. Alright, let's go and look at it. Book of Matthew 24. Or 25 then. Alright? Matthew 25, verse 30, not 25, I beg your pardon, 24 verse 32. 24 verse 32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and put forth leaves, you know the summer is nigh. So likewise, he when he shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, before verse 32, you know all that is in chapter 24 about the signs and, you know, about the coming of Christ and what will happen. And as Jesus said, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Right? Earthquakes will be there plenty, you know. And there will be famine and pestilences and so on and so forth. Right? Now, Jesus was talking about it. And then he talked about the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened in 70 AD. Right? And then, of course, that when he came, when he finished that, when he stuck on this parable of the fig tree, that's what we see. In the early 20th century until 1948, we have the transition of time. Industrialization came at the early 20th century. Then countries began to fight against another country, you know, to claim land, to enlarge their own empire. While that was going on in Europe, America fought against the German and Europe, the NATO's and so on. And then over on the eastern side we have Japan. We have China fighting each other. And then Japan started to even attack the British and American. So the war came over to Asia. So that was a period before 48. There was a lot of happening. Religious event happened in the 20th century beginning. Then the political issue came in and, you know, men of seeking power, men like Hitler. Then we have wars. You know, because the economy was good then. You know, back those days, a dime can, you know, a little penny can buy you a whole lot of things. I remember when I was young, even in the 50s, I remember one penny, one cent. You remember 1 cent coin? Huh. You know, 1 cent, you could buy something with 1 cent in those days. What can you buy? Do you remember? I remember. I can take 1 cent and go to a little, what we call a street shop, and I can buy a candy, a coconut candy for 1 cent. Yes, that's how much it is, you see. But today, I don't even know if 5 cents can buy anything, you see. So the economy was booming back then, was strong, everything is built up, industrialized, and so the war came. And so, all things happened within the first half of the 20th century. Then in 48, now 48 began the year, the mark, the counting down of that, what we read in Revelation chapter 6, the little season. Now, look at the chart here. We see that the soul under the altar, okay, they were slain in the Syrian Second World War. And they were told to rest a little season, because from 48 until the fullness of the Gentile comes in, then those servants, your fellow servant, your servant, the people of your, the servant of your people, people just like you, they are servants of the Lord, those, you know, that will stand for the truth, even the two witnesses, that they should be killed, should be killed. Now, it's the plan of God. Look at what the word says carefully. They were told that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also, okay, there will be not just the two prophets, huh? Okay, not just the two prophets. There will be others who are serving the Lord as well. I mean, just like today. We have a fivefold ministry, right? And we have a Christian who are zealous for the Lord and doing God's will, right? Okay, it says that until their fellow servant also and their brethren. Now, in the church, we have servants of God and brethren, okay, believers. And so do the Jews. They also have servants, like the prophets, and they have their prophets, they have their rabbi, the teacher, those who are truly in the Word. Now, I want to say, when you hear rabbi, it's the word rabbi. We know what rabbi means, is a teacher, right? Now, not all Jewish rabbi, well, we will think that they are, that they know nothing about the Bible. Now, you read, I guess that you have the news that was sent to you regarding a rabbi, I can't remember his name right now, so how that the Lord appeared to him and showed him this, the name of the Messiah. Do you read about it? Do you remember? Yeah. You see, and how that he said that when the ex-president, what is his name? When he passed away, then who? Sharon, yes. When Prime Minister, not President, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon passed away, then you know would be revealed to them the Messiah. You see, the Messiah will come. So there are, don't forget, even though we should not look at religious figure who are in Judaism, or even religious figure who are in denomination, that they necessarily do not know anything about the truth. There will always be those who are elected. You believe that, don't you? Sure. I was once in denomination, but I came to the truth. And so did many preachers as well. You see. So, we are right here that the Bible, when God says this, that your fellow servant and your brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Because God has already predestined that they must die for their faith. Just think about it now. You see. So, rest a little season until those who need to be put to death, they will have to be put to death. They must die. So, we'll be fulfilling the word of God. Okay, so now this little season is the space between 1948, okay, until the fullness of the Gentile is coming. Do you understand that? Alright, so from this time here until this time, that goes all the way to the whole great tribulation, which is the time of Jacob's trouble. When all those in it will need to die, will have to die. You understand? Alright, now let's go on. Alright. Verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree cast her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island will move out of their places, and the king of the earth, and the great man, and the rich man, and the chief captains, and the mighty man, and every born man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sit on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now the sixth seal. Now the sixth seal, I want to show you, but we're not going to talk about the sixth seal today. I just want to follow the chart, alright, so that you have an idea. The sixth seal is placed so far away, right over here, in the day of the Lord, when Lord's wrath is come. So this is the sixth seal. The sixth seal happens after the great tribulation. Now read carefully what he says here again and look at the chart. Alright. And when you opened the sixth seal lower, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now that will be a phenomenon happen when the Lord Jesus comes with his saints. Just before he comes with his saints, there will be a great earthquake. Alright. And God's wrath will be poured out in the seven vials, using the seven vials. Alright. And when he poured out, of course, events happen. There will be phenomena. Now, you know what? How many of you heard about 12-12-12? You know about the 12-12-12 stuff? Huh? You know that, don't you? 12 of December 2012. And it is to say in the next 3 months from now. On the 12th of December of the 20th 2012 year of our calendar, The Mayan, according to the Mayan calendar, there will be disasters upon the earth. The sun flare, you know, the sun whatever, throw forth his, whatever they call the name of Corona, whatever, some kind of effect, and everything will black out, there will be chaos upon the earth, and so on and so on. And even now in America, I was just watching that documentary, Doomsday Preppers. Doomsday Preppers. People are preparing for what is going to happen. So they store up food and dig a hole in the ground, build, you know, underground homes, you know. And some of them practice shooting so that, you know, with the food that they store up, they will have to defend themselves. So they believe that it is going to happen. Let me tell you, I feel so sad for them. It's not going to happen like that. All right? Because this year is going to come, this year is going to go. 2013 is going to come, 2013 is going to go. So with 2014, 2015 is going to come and it's going to go. And I still believe, wait for another term of the American president. Another four years, we will come to 2016. And after that, they will have to elect. Because all the male, all the president, all the men in America, and they really are unfit to be president. Right? So something going to happen. They're going to vote in a woman president. And I believe that's what's going to happen in another 4 years. Look at every country that have woman president. Why are woman president stepping? Because the men are incompetent. Why did Deborah in the Bible steps in? Why did God put the woman to be a judge over Israel? Because the men are incompetent. You see? And I believe in the sense that American people are tired of all their presidents. Every one of them is just, oh my, unbelievable. You know. And I didn't realize when I watched that video on the Lamb in the Dark, when this interviewer was interviewing President Bush, and I couldn't believe what I heard. You know, because he said it before in public, and this interviewer said, You want him to say that again to find out whether he still believes what he said. He asked him, Mr. President, President Bush, You said you could look into the eyes of a man and tell what you see. He said, yeah. He said, when you look into President Putin's eye, what do you see? I saw his soul. And when you look into the eyes of the Pope, what do you see? God. Unbelievable. President Bush looked into the eyes of the Pope and saw God. You know, we have people who doesn't know even what is black and white. They don't even know the right hand from the left hand. You know. And it is a very sad thing. And I was watching the documentary on this yesterday on Bhutto, President Bhutto, Manazi Bhutto, you know, about how the daughter of that president, Zarifa, whatever his name is, you know, how that he wanted to bring democracy, and how that, oh, the American manipulated him and all this. Finally, you know, when he died, his daughter had to step in, because all the men were fighting among themselves and caused us a lot of problems. She stepped in, the Muslim wanted to kill him, had to kill him, kill her. You know, and all behind this was the manipulation of the superpower of the world. Russia, America, they were the Chinese. Everybody wants the land. It is America, when Russia invaded Afghanistan. Oh, America, Chocho, what we call that, you know? Instigated the people of Afghanistan there and all those Taliban people to fight. So this is your land, we support you fight. And Osama bin Laden was one of them that the USA supported. But what happened? It created what we call the Mujahideen. You know?
Mujahideen.
You know, they create this organization, this society where anybody can come from any part of the world and join these Islamic, you know, warriors to fight. And see what happened in the world today. And this is what the devil is, very smart. Flatter you, come right in, and your end have you. Alright, so when we look at the sixth seal then, now it says here, and verse 30, that the stars of heaven fall unto the earth, as a fig tree cast an untimely fig when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departs as a scroll, and is rolled together. So, all the event that is spoken of in seal number 6, is the wrath of God being poured out, and judge the earth until the heaven will move back, and here comes Jesus Christ and his army. Riding white horses. Okay, look at the chart. And then he will come and fight for Israel. And in the days when he comes, he will come on Mount Olive. Remember? Huh? And Mount Olive that was split in the center. From east to west, the water of the mighty Mediterranean Sea, or the Great Sea, will flow in because of that. What we call the Mount Olive will be split into two. One move, part move north, the other part move south, and create a big valley. And water will come in from the Great Sea into and mix with the water in the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is no longer dead, it will be alive and full of fishes. So that is the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come. After the sixth seal is to be fulfilled, when it is fulfilled, that is what is going to happen. Alright? And of course, at that time, when Christ comes, of course, everybody is afraid. He comes with his army of white horses, you know, and riding with the saints, coming down to fight. And I pray that you are one of them that sits on one of those white horses, coming back to fight with the Lord and take control of the earth. Of course, when he comes out, during that time, I can tell you one thing, there's a whole lot of events that's going to happen so fast, you know. And what they are talking about now, those doomsday preppers, they call them preppers, trying to save their life, preparing all these things. They think that is what is going to happen like this in America. And this is what you see in America. Those doomsday preppers are all in America and in Canada. They think that because America is a language is in trouble, they know it. You know. And we also know that America will be bombed according to the visions of Brother Branham. Is that right? Sure. You see. So alright, that is the sixth seal. And of course when that happened, people say, oh, they want to go into the cave and hide themselves and mother crash on them because God's wrath is come. Alright. Now, if you look at chapter 7, what happened? What happened to the seventh seal? The seventh seal is not around. Huh? Okay? The fifth seal deals with the Jews. The souls under the altar. Now, one thing interesting is that you need to know God's election is very short. You cannot change it. Now, when Joseph was, his brethren don't like him. Right? Literally, they hated him. So they sold him to, you know, a slave trader. And so he was sent to Egypt. But it was God's preparation. Even later on, when they came and met Joseph, Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize Joseph. Now, Joseph could have taken his revenge. Joseph could have judged them, but he didn't. You see. And so the same thing with Jesus. His own brethren, his own people put him to death. And Jesus could have judged them. But no, he said, Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. Same thing, Joseph realized that his brother doesn't know what he's doing. Joseph had all this vision of the sheep and how that, you know, 12 sheep and one of them bowed down to him. Huh? You see, they didn't know. So it was to serve God's purpose. Okay? So now, when we look at the seventh seal, why is the seventh seal? What is that seventh seal? Chapter 7, you don't find it. And then when you go over to chapter 8, then you have seventh seal. Now, we expect that seal number 7 to be somewhere after here. Right? But it isn't there. Now, in the denominational teaching, seal number 7 automatically, according to that, follows seal number 6. Okay? But if we were to follow exactly this kind of a sequence, we find that we will get lost because a lot of things that were described in the vows, okay, in the vows, which we find is over on this side, okay, and then that which was described in the trumpet, we cannot fit them because the trumpet comes after the seventh seal. So if we were to put number 7 seal, seal number 7 somewhere there, admit the Bible 7 seal doesn't show anything, actually. So according to denominational teaching, the 7th trumpet followed the 7th seal. So if it is so, then all the description of all these trumpets in the Bible would not fit in. It would be really a mess. It would not fit in. But therefore, speed it. We know that the book of Revelation has again, when you study, no matter how you study, you realize that it is all a series of visions that are not given to John sequentially. Okay? So there are all pieces of, all these series of visions are pieces that need to be fit into its proper place. So where is seal number 7? Seal number 7 is way back in our days, right over on here. That is seal number 7 right here. How is it so that the seal number 7 is fit into here? Now, it is so true that the book of Revelation, I can tell you one thing, is really hard to understand. I was studying when I was denomination. I studied the different books that I have. And well, the only thing that makes sense is only the way that the four speak, the four horsemen, as not religious, not the papacy. Okay, then they fit in other things about the disaster of the world and all that. Therefore, it makes sense. But when God's prophet came, just the revelation of the seven seals enough to open the rest of this book. Right? And when he says in verse chapter 8, verse 1, and when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And that's all that he says here. And then verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before the Lord, and to them were given seven trumpets. You see that? Now, if you would read the Bible and believe that verse 2 follows verse 1, verse 3 follows verse 2, then that's the way you will follow. Therefore, the seven trumpet comes after the seventh seal. You get it? Isn't it? That's what it says here. But we realize now that the word and, va, it's just, though it's a conjunction, it's not a conjunction used as it is in English, as it is used in English. Remember I told you the word letter va, and it means a hook. The letter means that God is just hooking his word continuously. Okay, but the event doesn't necessarily mean continuously. That's what denomination would say. And means conjunction. This tied to this. No. To God is that his word is tied to his word. But not the description of that verse being tied to the verse before. Not necessarily. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, it's just as I said, hanging curtain. And the curtain are all the same size. And the word of God are all just the word of God. So if you take a piece of curtain and hang it there, you take another piece. It could be any piece that could be hanged next to it, hooked to it, and on, so on. And that's what is interesting about the word of God. It is, as Jesus said, even the way he spoke when he was here on earth. He spoke in parables. Not meant for the common people to understand. And in hearing the talk, they didn't understand. But Jesus said they didn't. Yeah. In hearing, they hear not. So how do we know then that the seventh seal is fit where we see today? Why is the seventh seal in our generation? What is our seventh seal in our generation here? Kind of odd, huh? Think for a moment. When we put a chart like this and say that the seal is right in our day, the denomination will find it very strange. How do we put the seal there? Right? You look at it. Why should it be here? And we know that the seal being silent. And he said this for a space of half an hour. Now when John was there in the vision, he looked. When the seal was open, actually he said, when he said half an hour of his time, he was just waiting to see something, but nothing. He kept on waiting, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, nothing happened, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, nothing happened. Everything is silent, everybody is silent. He was kind of looking around to see what's going to happen. Nothing happened. Right? And then what he said, right then he says, and I saw the seven angels which stood before the Lord, to them were given seven trumpets. So now the vision is shifted from the seven seal being nothing. He saw now the seven angels come before the throne of God and seven trumpets were given to them, one each. Right. So, what happened in that space of silence? What happened in that space of silence on the seventh seal? Now, Brother Graham came along, the angel told him to go back to Jefferson View, that it will be given to him the revelation of the seventh seal. And so, when this came out to him, and it says, nothing come out of the seventh seal. They were total silent, they were unknown tongues. Now the interesting part is this, is what is not written in the Bible, you cannot preach. Right? And we know that, as Bonham said, when that was revealed to him, unknown tongues came forth. And he couldn't make up all those unknown tongues. That means to say that if it was silent, unknown tongues came forth, something that is spoken that he did not understand. Then we realize that in Revelation chapter 10, now that's not why in chapter 10, How do you make sense of Revelation chapter 10? How do you make sense of Revelation chapter 10? Because what is happening here has to be fitting into some place. And the way that when we look into Revelation chapter 10, we realize that Revelation chapter 10 is under the seventh seal. It's under that seventh seal. Now, look at it again. See what Brother Abraham said. He said, the seventh seal will be known right about the time that Jesus appeared on the earth again for his bride. Because he didn't see anything, just time. But he believed that that will be known right about the time that Jesus appeared on the earth again for his bride. Okay? And then I put this chart here, the drawing here, the point over to this side. I put that in Revelation 8:1 and then 10:1-16. Nobody knows when he's coming. That's what Brother Graham made this remark. He said, nobody knows when he's coming, but there will be seven voices of these thunders that will reveal the great revelation at that time. Got it? Yes, sir. Yeah. Now, let me say this. We know that this Bible is canonized. It's completed. It has been, we see how that man of God through all those ages past struggled to give a book, the Word of God, in a common language to the common people. And they have studied so many volumes, so many manuscripts, okay, and then translated word for word the way it should be. And yet, we know that there are certain things that's written in the Bible, they are very mysterious. And you know, only student, Bible student will try to figure that out. What on earth is this all about? Go to the book of Ezekiel, you find all that which Ezekiel saw, the visions of Ezekiel. Right? What he saw in heaven, the wheel within the wheel, you know, all that things, they describe that. Everybody trying to figure that out. Prophecy of Daniel. You see. And then this last book of Revelation is the most interesting is because it's a book of the end time. And so when people start reading that and they're trying to figure that out, but there are mystery hidden here. And you know what? I studied it when I was in the denomination. And I thought, well, that looks like it is. But you know, when I came to the message, when I read the book, the Revelation of the Seventh Seal, the Brother Abraham preached on, I can tell you the moment I read the first four seals, I said, this makes a whole lot of sense. It's just what it is. And the whole thing was open up. When you look at the seventh seal, this Bible opens up. Then you realize they are not in sequence. Because John will show a series of something that happened. The trumpet, the vows, you know, the seal. They are all not in sequence. After the seals comes the trumpet, after the trumpet comes the vow, then it's not so. Because something happened in each of these series of seven that is described. That you need to find what it is all about here that is described about the trumpet. What it is that is described about the walls under the fifth trumpet. I mean under the fourth trumpet. What is this three walls that came after the fourth trumpet was blown? You know? And it's the only thing that comes all out in one series is the seven vows. Because after the last trumpet was blown, the vows just poured out one by one quickly, and that ends it at the wrath of God and Christ come. You know? So, seal number seven, silent. Rabbi said, there's nothing but your unknown tongue. And unknown tongue, in Revelation chapter 10, you have the seven thunder. Right? So he means the seven thunder The object was sealed with seven seals. It was, I mean, it was sealed up because God told the voice of the beast, told one of the elders, told John not to write it. So it was unknown. Do you get it? Huh? So if those seven that uttered and John heard it, it was not written, you can't know anything. Right? So therefore, that seventh seal, being silent, has to do with the coming of the Lord. So now, it is fit right into this area. Okay? It will be known about the time that Jesus appeared again for the bride. So here is the seventh seal. And the seventh seal ends all things. Because once the seventh seal is broken, what happened? The scroll can be opened. Literally. Isn't it? And so that's the why when I saw that, when the scroll could be opened, why do you see that scroll open? Do you see it in chapter 8? You don't see in chapter 8. Do you see in chapter 9? You don't see in chapter 9. But what do you see? You saw it, you see it in chapter 10. Now the mighty angel came down with the open book in his hand, the scroll opened up in his hand. Then you realize that the book now is a book of redemption, a book of, it's a title deed, we will say. The scroll is a title deed to take back what Adam lost. Because Christ paid for it, to take everything back. Then you begin to see a picture. Do you see that? Now, let's look at this part now here. Okay, let's now bring it a little further down. Okay. I want you to look at this area here right now. I want to deal with this before we close. Now, because we are in the seventh seal, this is the time where we are looking at God revealing Himself to the bride. Christ, I would say, revealing Himself to the bride. Now, we are living in this part. Now, this is the seventh church age. We are in the year 2012 now. All of this we see, alright, in our era, I'll make it smaller. Okay. In our era here, alright, we see the fifth seal fulfilled in part already. Second World War, right? Yes? Because we're living from the age of 36 or 1906 or 1903 forward. So this is an era of great events happening. And it will be the age where Christ would have to come. Because we're already in the seventh church age. And we said that the number seven is the number of perfection. You know what I mean? There is no number eight anymore. It's only number seven. And so we have the seventh seal. And we know the first six seal, what it pertains to. But look at it. But the seventh seal is in our time make known to us. Right? And the seventh seal will bring forth the seventh trumpet later on. We know that to be true. And the seventh trumpet, when it is blown, will end all things. Because the seven vials will be poured out and Christ will come back. But the seventh seal is made known to us by revelation at this time. And giving us a revelation, understanding of Revelation chapter 10, the coming of the Lord. So now, we look here, we have the star of David. Okay? That is, now we see prophecy fulfilled. Israel became a nation. Many, many other nations became independent as well. Some is still, that is still okay? You understand? So many countries became independent. Singapore became independent, Malaysia, India, Hong Kong. Right. So we see how this is fulfilled now. So it's all within this age. Now what we see? Oh, okay. This fourth horseman, the pale horse. And we see how the papacy revived papacy was revived by ecumenism. Romanism was lifted up from its death blow by Luther. And if you look at the history, you see how then after Luther came out, Protestant, you know, oh, they all set on fire throughout Europe. And you know, the Bible went forth, and of course the characters still try to stem it up. Hope try to destroy the Bible. You know. And you know, without that revival in the days of Martin Luther, we would not have what we have today. You see. So because of that struggle, we see how then that this horse then was lifted up by the ecumenical movement. And it's still riding today. But because of what happened back then, after the church, all the apostles died, the test came in. Right? Remember? In the parables of Matthew 13? Let's go to it. I wonder if you all still remember the parables. Matthew parable chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Okay, let's see, where is that now? Oh, over in verse 24, chapter 13, Matthew. And now Paul put him forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And when men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Got it? Huh?
Yep.
So you see here that? When all the apostles died, when men slept, okay, the enemy came in. The enemy, when we know the enemy is Satan, how does the enemy work? The enemy worked through men. And through the system of Roman Catholicism, he came in and sowed tares. So tares has been sown all the way. Remember all these TWTW here, you see on the chart? Okay, all the way from the days of the last apostle when he died. So it goes all the way until in our age, again it is our age. Our eggs, that's why we see the tares being taken and bind together for the burning. Huh? Everything ends up in this seventh age. All the wonderful thing happening right here. And of course, this is also a troublesome time. Right? You know what is the better time to leave? The better time to leave is just before the war happened. Maybe you want to say here, in the love future church. You know that? You don't worry so much about wars and all the problems. You know. Of course, if you are living in the time just around about the war, like, well, Sister Aggie's time, or your mother's time, your father's time, oh, they suffered a lot. Right? But now we are living beyond that Second World War, but here is coming something out there. Something out there is coming. Huh? So now, what we look at is the tares will bind together, and that's the ecumenism. All the tares of these systems are uniting themselves in ecumenism. Now, the common people that go to the churches, they may be ignorant. Right? But it is the clergymen, the people up there on the top who sit, you know, who sits upon their high chairs, we say, getting big money. And when they preach to the people, what do they preach? They don't preach the truth, practically. You know, many of them. Just give them a little something to make them happy. Right? And remember one thing, you are here not to be made happy, because the Bible says judgment begins in the house of God. Right here in the house of God, the word of God will judge you how you will believe, what you will do with the word of God. Right? So the task is not by together and to be burned. So we have Israel as a nation, all other nations came and all many other trees. Stop putting on fig leaves. Nation became independent, and all the church activity, the religious activities is here. They said, okay, the tears are bind together now. At this time, we have a message, a shout. That's an approach. Then we have the five-fold ministry, the voice of God. Okay, all right. We have the separating of the tares from the wheat under the ministry of the shout, the calling of the bride. And then under the five-fold ministry now, there is the perfection of the saints by the five-fold ministry, under the ministry of the five-fold ministry, under the voice of the archangel, the five-fold ministry, or the ascension gift ministry. And this is to say that the wheat will have to be sieved as to those who will make the wise virgin, that will be the bride, and those that will be the foolish one, and the foolish one will continue right over into the tribulation. Okay? So when the fullness of time of the Gentile is coming, when the translation of the word of Christ takes place in the rapture, okay, then the fullness of time of the Gentile is already over. That's when we find that the Jews here, you see, the Jews which was cast off start coming back. And now, of course, I have the J here, the Jews, because they are Jews that now accept the gospel and accept the word of God, accept Christ as the Messiah. Okay? So then, into the period of the Daniel 70 week, that is when we have, the Lord dealing with the Jewish people. But right now, I want to say something. This battle of Ezekiel 38-39. Ezekiel chapter 38-39 is about a battle that is going to happen. And students, Bible students have struggled to find what this battle is all about. Back then, in the 60s, 70s, many believed that the battle of Ezekiel 38-39 is part of what was described in the book of Revelation, the battle of Gog and Magog. You understand? Because in Ezekiel 38-39, he mentioned the name Gog and Magog. And so did the book of Revelation mention about Gog and Magog. So because of that, they think that they are the same. Alright? So, therefore, the battle of Ezekiel 38-39 is not here, it's in the future, you see. Far, far into the future, after millennium. After the millennium is over, it cannot be. It won't make sense. So the battle of Ezekiel 38-39 have to fall into this place. We will talk about it some other time. Okay? Because this is a battle that deals with the sanctification of God's holy name. You know that God's holy name has been blasphemed? The Jews themselves also, in a way, have blasphemed God's name. But God's name must be sanctified among all the nations of the world to let them know that He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the battle of Ezekiel have to fall into this place. Okay, so that's why I said Russia will be defeated here. Most probably, around the time of this battle, California was sinking by earthquake. Now I put it right here, and I believe it, that California must sink during the period of this great battle, because I could not fit it into any other place. Why? Because I believe that there are significant events. One, you remember that the dead in Christ, in the day that Jesus Christ resurrected, right? Was there not an earthquake? Yes? Yes, there was an earthquake. Now, earthquake, when the earth shakes, it releases its energy. And also in the sense that the Bible using that the earthquake releases the dead in the Old Testament saints. You understand? Okay? Now, we are living in this junction of time. If the bride or the saint has been perfected and the wife has made herself ready, what then? If everything is ready, we're all ready, huh? So what's the next thing to happen? Something must happen. That's when the seventh thunder must utter their voices. So the seventh thunder here will come into play. The seven thunders are seven men. Now, a lot of people don't believe it. As you well know then, a lot of believers in the end time message do not believe that the seven thunders are seven men. They believe that the seven thunders are the seven seals already opened. And what Brother Bram talked about, the seals are all the thunders. But remember one thing, there is a difference between the thunders and the voices. And that's what they missed out. Remember when we read, when the first seal was opened, there was a thunder? Yes, but he didn't say that a thunder uttered his voice. It was the sound of a thunder. You understand that? Boom! When the elder said, you know, or the voice of the elder, we will say, it's thunderous. That's all. The thunder did not utter their voice. It's a different thing. So when the seventh thunder uttered the voices, we know that there is a difference between the voice and the thunder. Thunder is something that could speak, could utter its voice. So seven thunders utter their voices. And John heard it with his own ear. John did not say the thunder rumbles and he wrote down what the rumbling was all about. They were voices that he heard. And if voices were heard, therefore what are those thunders? John must have seen them, and they must be men or angels. And if God deal with the church on earth, He doesn't deal with us with angels. Right? Yes, we know the angels are ministering spirit. But God will use His servant on earth. He won't send angels to you. And so we have a problem about this angelic thing, manifestation. And as I said this, you all have an angel that follows you and watches over you. Huh? Got it? But the Spirit of God or the angel of the Lord is with his servant, teaching them however the Lord would deal with them. But it is the man of God that will speak the word, the servant of God that will speak the word and do the ministry. Alright, so we are living at this time now. Okay, the bride is going to perfect, is perfecting herself and waiting for the seventh thunder to utter the voice. If you ask me when, I have no idea. When it's going to sound. But there was a sound, as Brother Bam will say right here, nobody knows when he's coming. But there will be seven voices of this thunder that will reveal the great revelation of that time. Right? When the seventh thunder comes, then you will know what it's all about. Now, let me ask you this. On the day that Jesus resurrected, now if there was no resurrection of the Old Testament, say, the people would not know that there is a resurrection. Right? Until Jesus visited them. Right? But the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew that the dead, the old, the son of the same, came up and went to Jerusalem. Not all of them going to Jerusalem, huh? Because they're not. The Bible just said some of them went to Jerusalem. But what happened to the rest of them? They don't all go to Jerusalem, have to go some other place. Why? Because there are other believers in Galilee too. There's a Bethlehem also. In Jericho, in whatever place that Jesus made them, where there are believers up there, they must have gone there. Why? To be a witness and a testimony that there is a resurrection. That Jesus has resurrected. You understand what I'm saying? Now, we are looking today, right about this time. Okay? We know that it's not going to be tomorrow, it's not going to be next year that Jesus is going to come. I can guarantee you that. Okay? And one brother was asking me, telling me, minister said, oh, Brother Ben, if the Lord tarries, we're going to have a convention. I said, well, the Lord will tarry, surely. I told him, surely the Lord will tarry, because we have at least 4 years more to go, and then we need to have something going to happen. You know, now we are watching signs and times, huh? Okay. Because I believe that America would have a woman president. If not by next 4 years, a woman president comes in. Then we have to see that the woman that was seen by Brother Branham in the vision would have to be a character somehow, push herself into the, well, to do whatever to make the, well, to say something that will affect America. But I still believe that it would have to be a woman president. So that when everything happened, okay, fulfilling everything, now, Ezekiel 38, 39, when Russia comes down to fight in the Middle East, what will happen? Huh? Ezekiel 38, 39, better you know what is described there. All the allies of Russia will come and fight. And I believe this could be caused by Israel attacking Iran. And then, oh, there's big problems going on now. Germany steps in. Saudi Arabia steps in. You know, Pakistan will step in as well. The European nation will step in. Everybody will want to try to settle the Middle East situation. But so they fight each other. But when Russia comes down, there will be a great earthquake. Remember the Bible said? And destroy the army of Russia. Now, what earthquake is that? They're going to be so big. It has to, well, southern Middle East somewhere. Okay. And don't forget the ring of fire. You know the ring of fire? You know, once an earthquake starts, if it's big enough, it causes a lot of chain reaction. And I believe that it will be about this time that California will sink. So much so that America would have a disaster on her hand. Here in the Middle East, Israel, his ally, their allies, is being attacked. And they have a disaster in California. What then? What then? Who are they going to send to help those people in California? To help in the disaster. When Israel is being attacked. Now, let's assume now that when that earthquake starts in the Middle East and California and go around the world, what happens if the dead in Christ rise up? Now, I'm talking about this. Now, you take a picture if the dead in Christ rise up now, and would the people of the world pay attention to what is happening here in the bride? Because Bob Graham said the bride will have what? It's revival. You watching well, okay, son? Huh? The bride will have a revival. So if this thing happened, if this open happened right here, and the dead in Christ rise up, because that's the last trump already. When the dead in Christ rise up, as Bob M. one time told a sister, huh? You know, I said, sister, you've been washing your crockery, in your kitchen. And you looked up in the window. And there, in the path, some loved one will come up the path and knock on your door. How interesting it will be. Right? When all that thing is going to happen, you will be in a home, maybe on a bus, and something happened to you, some loved one come up to you, knock at the door or something. And you know, it means the resurrection is taking place. That someone turned off beyond the earth. And whatever is going to visit you and talk to you or say anything, it could even be like this fellowship here. Someone turned off, two or three may come in, stand at the door, and they will say something and they will go. And when that is said, then you know something is happening to your body. That's where the change must take place. As Brother Ben one time put it that way, and I didn't realize that, but I have the same revelation, that this body of Christ cannot be translated up yet until its body is healed. That is to say, if you are sick, you have to be healed. If you have no arm, you must have an arm. You have no leg, you have a leg. If you're all crippled up, it will be mixed shape. If you have Parkinson, that will stop. If you have no eye, you have an eye. Impossible? Wait till you see what God can do. Because we don't have a revival yet. You ever see a blind man see? Just imagine when Brother Brown went to India and saw that young Indian man whose eyes was burned completely, the cornea was burned by the sun. And God showed him a vision to pray for this boy, and he challenged all the Jains and all these things. They got to pray to heal him. They couldn't. And he just prayed for the boy, and the skin dropped off. And the boy could see right before your eyes. Now I have a record of what I read evangelist back in the days of Brother Branham's time. A cripple, polio. You know, polio walks on calipers. He bring him out. That evangelist was so full of faith, knowing what God's going to do. Took the boy up there, took off his caliper. He cannot stand because, you know, he need to know how they walk with this thing. You ever seen that? He took the caliper, he hold the boy under his armpit. Standing on the platform, sawdust on the floor. Those are what called the sawdust tree. He took the boy and lift the boy up, and he threw the boy just like that. Wow! He threw the boy and he said, "Stand in the name of the Lord." The boy landed on his feet and he stood. He hasn't seen miracles yet, brothers and sisters. You know, there will be the day when it happened, but he said, the world will know. The world will not know. Because why? The problem, the world is already for everybody to group in their television. You know? What's happening? You don't have an eye, you go to them and say, "Hey, look, I have a new eye." Say, "Oh, yeah, okay, that's good." You know the problem in the world now? You have a new eye to worry about? We have problems in the world to worry about. There is war being fought all over, and that's why you need to know in the Bible, when God visits the children of Israel, He always visits them, usually visits them, when they are disasters. In the day when Jesus came, why was the song of Silent Night, Holy Night? Let there be peace on earth, right? Why? Because when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Israel was full of troubles. Because why? They were under the rule of the Roman Empire. And the people in Israel wanted to topple the government, wanted to fight against, you know, the Romans. They were uprising everywhere. Read the history. That's why you have Barabbas is one of them. Judas Iscariot is also one of them. Imagine what happened when you least expect it. Because you're looking at all the problems in the world. That's why. Why are we always, people look at the trouble? Huh? Now look to the Lord. When they look at the trouble, they don't see the Lord. When they look at trouble, they don't see what's going on. And this is what I'm expecting for that day to happen. And when it happens, oh yes, watch revival. And we are all going to turn. Old ones, younger ones, alright? And then we'll all be caught away. In the moment I twinkle our eye, after about 40 days of revival, 40 days of revival. Because what Baba Ben said, they're going to be a quick, short work. Which is true. Why 40 days? Around 40 days. Because when Jesus resurrected, He came back and was on earth for 40 days, talking to the disciple, sharing with the disciple. The Bible didn't tell us a lot of things, but I believe that many people were healed in those days. You know. And the dead in Christ, and I mean, the Old Testament saying they were walking around there, I don't know for how long. You know. Imagine that. Huh? Would you like to be on a train, in an MRT, and then here, you're sitting down, here came two men sitting beside you and say something. And the next station, they get off. Then something happened to your body. There's a change. Something is changing. Your white hair is gone. Slowly, slowly. You know, it takes about a while, huh? Don't expect it suddenly. Your hair just went, become black. No. It won't. Remember Abraham? Remember Sarah? Right? It takes about 3 months, huh? Before they conceive, right? Right. So they're slowly, slowly changing. And this is something we are expecting. Okay? And that's what we all expect right over this time. So we know that when this is over, when the day Christ rises up and they caught up, we are changing, caught up to meet Christ in the air, that will end the fullness of the Gentile. That's what we're looking at, the seventh seal being known to us what Revelation 10 is all about. But we'll come to that later as we go on and tie up everything together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Bless you, O Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your goodness, Father, in our life. We thank you, Father, without your mercy and your grace, Father, we certainly, Father, not be here today. But because you compel us, because by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his love, we have this life of yours in us. And we know the Lord, there's so much joy in us to know Jesus. Oh, Lord. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. We know time is fast spent, oh Lord. We know it won't be long before Jesus comes. And we pray, Father, that every one of us in this fellowship is ready. Being prepared, Father, walking in the light. For those that are frustrated, Lord, with a lot of things in mind because of affliction in the body, whatever be, we ask of your grace, Lord, to be with them and comfort them, O Lord. And to bring about something, Father, draw them back to your bosom. We pray not only for ourselves, but for others all around the world. Those that love you, love your word. We know that many, O Lord, are also going through a hard time. But let your word, O Lord, be their strength. So, Father, we commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.